Will you please join me in a time of prayer? Our Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for bringing us here again tonight to worship you. May this time bring honor and praise to your name, and may we see you in a new way. Lord, thank you for the promise that we have of spring coming right around the corner. Lord, we had a glimpse of it just a few weeks ago with the warmer temperatures and the sunshine. Lord, thank you for your promise that no matter what happens, the seasons will always come, that your word tells us that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We thank you for this promise that we have, that you gave us, and we look forward to warmer temperatures, the blue skies again, flowers blooming. Thank you, Lord, for not only taking care of your creation, but also taking care of us. Thank you for knowing us so well that not even a hair can fall from our head without you willing it. Lord, thank you for holding us in your hands. Lord, we want to also thank you for Sarah DeGraff. Thank you for holding her in your hands as she heads back to China this week. Thank you for her willingness to serve you in a foreign land and for her servant's heart to the people there. We pray that the next 3 months are fruitful and kingdom building, and that the work that she does there will bring about your glory. We pray, too, that the student situation that she has going on there may be increased to the full 10 students. May these students' hearts be open to you, and may the teachers be filled with your Holy Spirit to equip these students with your message. Lord, please bless her time there, and may she return in due time to enjoy time with family and friends again. And then as again she prepares to go out, please bless her again. Lord, we also want to thank you to pray for the Oskin family tonight. Lord, it was a devastating blow that happened last night to them. May your peace and presence be with them. Please comfort the family and friends as they again begin to adjust to a new normal. Please give them comfort during this time, and may they always rely on you, especially during the times of questioning and wondering why. Lord, please give guidance and comfort to their hearts. Lord, we also pray for those in this congregation that need you in a special way. We think of the Norman family. We think of the Vanderkoy family. We also think of the Babiak family. Please bless them as they all have different situations that they're going through. Please help us as a congregation to wrap our arms around them, to love them and show them our support as they walk through this time. Please grant them peace. Please grant them patience in all that they do. And Lord, if it is your will, please continue to bring healing to them. Lord, we also want to pray for the church tonight as we go forward and look for a new pastor and new youth director or pastor. Lord, we pray that the person that you bring to this congregation will be according to your will, that it may be in your time, and that it may not be for our benefit, Lord, but for yours. We pray that they have a servant's heart as well, that they bring your word to us in a way that you see fit, and that your will may be done. Please help us as a congregation to be patient, as it can be kind of a lengthy process. Please bless the volunteers that are looking for a new pastor, and also for that of a youth leader. Thank you for those that have stepped up to kind of fill the void during the absences. Thank you for the pastors that have stepped up to lead our congregation in messages every Sunday. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Randy for bringing him here tonight. Please help his words to sink into our hearts. May he be led by the Holy Spirit, and may we also be led by the Spirit to hear what you have to say to us. Please bless the remainder of this night. Please grant us what we stand in need of. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wrong button. If all the churches could agree on one system, it would be so nice. It's good to be here tonight. I've heard about Heritage, known about Heritage, known a number of your people for a long time, but I've never preached at Heritage. I don't think I've ever preached in a Byron Center church. That's something when you get to preach in a Byron Center church. In spirit, it's kind of right on the fringe. We're kind of in between Cutlerville and Byron, so I'm not really sure where we belong. But I'm grateful to be here tonight. It's a joy to be here. I've known Pastor Jim for a long time already. When he was in Holland, we lived in Holland. I was in business then. I'm a second career pastor, but I know Jim and Shelley, and Shelley was my kid's kindergarten teacher many years ago. And known Pastor Bob for a long time. Been on a number of projects and teams with him. Pastor Art and I have had some committee work and did things together for a while too. So I've got some connections to Heritage, and it's really good to be here tonight. I hope I'm not breaking any rules. I had asked if I could have a music stand down here in the aisle. I'm just much more comfortable down here than I am up on the pulpit. And they said, no, take the pulpit. So I hope I'm not breaking a rule, but I looked at that pulpit and I thought, man, this is great. This thing is built for me. Do you see the curve on this thing? You need to put that in your pastor profile, okay? Because not every church is, you know, the pulpits aren't always built for the pastors. So this is really cool. I might have to get one of those. The straight ones give you a pulpit blister, you know? But I'll leave it at that. I bring you greetings from your friends, your brothers and sisters at In Spirit, and also from Home Missions. I'm on staff at Home Missions for the last couple of years, and I work with the Great Lakes region in church planting. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what God is going to do as Classis Grand Rapids South and Classis Granville and Heritage continue to pursue God's will and see what that means for a new church south of Grand Rapids. You know, the reality is we have lots of good churches, good, solid, established churches, long history of good ministry. But the reality also is that there's just a lot of people who aren't in churches every Sunday. Amen? There's a lot of people. The demographics tell us that it's approximately 50% of the people in our communities, especially when you get south of here, don't have a church. And that's why we're looking at planting more churches, doing some things different that will engage people who have been disengaged or disenfranchised, hurt, or even broke away from the church or never experienced the church for the first time. So keep praying about that. Just keep praying about that and listen where God is leading. And I pray that he's going to make his paths known if we're obedient and we follow his instructions. So I'm glad to be a part of that. I want to pray, and then we'll dig into where we're going to go tonight. Father God, just want to give you thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight with brothers and sisters at Heritage. I pray that as we look at this topic of worship, that you would just enable us to see your desire for what worship is all about and how we are to worship. Lord, I pray that we would just put life on hold. I know it's the end of the day. We've got things to do yet tonight and plans for the upcoming week and all this stuff that can distract us. Just allow us to put that stuff on hold so that you can speak to us tonight. And Lord, I pray that your words would speak much louder than my words, that I would get out of the way, and that all we would see tonight is you and your plans for us. Lord, bless us as we spend this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think about worship tonight. We talk a lot about we're going to church to worship, right? Some of the songs we sang, we call them praise and worship songs. I'm looking at your bulletin and it said morning worship, 9:30. Evening worship, 5 o'clock. I see that Pastor Scott Jose was here this morning to lead you in worship. The gentleman who just offered the prayer talked about the pastors who came to lead the congregation in worship. We talk a lot about worship, but tonight I want you to really think, and I want this to be more of a teaching and a reflection, if you will, more than a sermon. I don't want you to think of it as a sermon, but I want you to look deep in your heart and listen to what Scripture says about worship. What really is worship, and how are we supposed to worship? We talk about coming to worship, but what does that really mean? So in some ways, I'm going to challenge you tonight to think beyond that word worship, and to really look deeply into not only what it means, but what does worship mean to you personally? What does your worship look like? So I want us to really kind of answer, excuse me, two questions by the end of the day. And the first one is going to be this, and that is, why worship? Why worship? Do you ever think about that? Why even worship? Why do we use that word worship? And then the second thing is, what does this worship look like? And I'm going to look at a text tonight, and then I'm going to give you seven things from that text that I think clearly reflect what worship is about. And I think on the back of one of your outlines, there is a little outline with the seven things. And I'm going to encourage you to write these down and take them home and reflect on it, and then just apply it to your own life. But before I get into those seven bullets, if you will, those seven points, when I think of worship, I want to set our minds and just look at worship. We say, we're going to church to worship, but you know what? You and I worship every minute of our lives. Did you ever think about that? Everything you do from the time you get up to the time you go to bed at night is an act of worship. I think we need to be reminded of that. It's so easy to think, yeah, we're going to sing worship songs, or I'm going to sing in the choir, we're going to do these praise and worship songs, or we're going to come together for worship on Wednesday night, or a special worship service, or we're having a joint worship service, or we're having Easter worship services, right? Worship is so much more than that. Worship is 24/7. When we get up tomorrow morning and go to work, our worship doesn't end. Our worship begins the minute we get up tomorrow morning. Our worship is how we live our life all day long, isn't it? And I go back and I look at that, and I look at the Westminster Catechism, and I think it's on the screen if the PowerPoint is working. You can pull that slide up. But it says, what is the chief end of man? If I can rephrase that, what is the chief purpose of man? Why did God create mankind, is what the Catechism is asking. What on earth are we here for? And the answer is this. Man's chief end is to glorify, to worship, isn't it? That is our purpose on this earth, to worship God and to enjoy him forever. Because when you worship God, God blesses you, and you enjoy that relationship, and you enjoy the life he gives you. Now, having that as a backdrop, I want to look at what that looks like in our everyday life. And to do that, I want us to look at Genesis chapter 22, a very familiar story probably to most of you. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19. And I'm going to use the New Living Translation, and that's the translation that I have up here as well. It says, sometime later, you got to get this, God tested Abraham's faith. Now, I underlined that and bolded that in that text, and we're going to come back to that. God tested Abraham's faith. I just believe that God tests all of his people's faith at some time or other, huh? Who are we really? What are we made of? And what does our relationship with God look like? That's kind of what the premise is, or the setting for this text. So it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. He said, Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son, Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. And then this line again says, we will worship there. That's the line that grabbed me when I started looking at this text. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up his knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering, in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On this mountain, the Lord will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Then they returned to the servants and traveled back to Beersheba, where Abraham continued to live. There's a lot there. We could talk about this from now to Easter, but let me give you seven things to go home and talk about from what I think this text says when it comes to our personal worship. Number one is this: worship is a personal response to God's call. Worship is a personal response to God's call. If you look at verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called, and Abraham said, yes, here I am. When I look at that, I see Abraham walking with God, and Abraham put himself in a place in his daily life where he was in a position to listen from God, wasn't he? Or listen to God. Abraham was called by God. God spoke and Abraham heard him. Abraham wasn't caught up in the world and all the other things that were going on and all of the busyness. He was walking with God and had himself in a position where when God called, he could hear him. I think that's part of what worship is about. Positioning ourselves in a place where we can just simply hear from God so that when God calls, we say, yes, here I am. When the Lord says, Randy, I need to hear his voice. I need to be in a place. And Abraham didn't say, oh, not now, Lord. This isn't a good time. Can you call me later? Abraham said, here I am. We think about that song, here I am, to worship, huh? Putting ourselves in a place where God can speak to us. Abraham did just that. Another thing I think with it is that when it's a personal thing, it's not a ritual. You know, if I can put it in sort of a blunt way, I think, why did you come to church tonight? You start your day, you end your day, many of you in church, but why did you come tonight? Did you come here expecting to hear from God? I know lots of times it's easy to go through the motions, right? And when you look at the Old Testament, when you look at God's Word, he didn't like the rituals, did he? He wanted a relationship. When you look at the New Testament and you look at Jesus, Jesus was against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was against the religious, wasn't he? When he said, what's the most important law of all? Jesus, when the Pharisees and Sadducees asked him that, Jesus said, it's not about the law. It's not about religion. It's about relationship, didn't he? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love me, love others. That's relationship. Put yourself in a position where you can hear from me and listen and follow my commands where it calls you to demonstrate your love. Worship is personal. It's an indicator of our faith. It's an indicator of our walk and our response to God. The second thing, worship expects to encounter God. When you came here tonight, did you come here expecting to hear from God or see God? Or did we come to sing and hear a message and go back home? And I say that because I think it's very easy to come and not see God, to go through a whole worship service and to sing the songs but not really expect to encounter God. And when Abraham went to the mountain, he expected to see God. He said, God will provide. He was expecting to see God and hear from God so that God could do something to him and through him and for him. If you look at verse 2, it says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. He was expecting God to show up. He listened. And then look at verse 8. Isaac went there with a, or Abraham went there with a mindset, didn't he? Verse 8 says, God will provide. He went to the mountain with expectations that God was going to come through on his promise. If you look at verse 13, it says, God provided a ram. It was in the thicket. Worship expects that God is going to show up and do something or say something. I guess the question that I ask, and I ask this in my own church, because a lot of people haven't grown up in the faith, and I say, how big is your God? How big is your God? Do you really expect your God to show up for you and do something extreme in your life? I think it's easy sometimes, yeah, we pray to God, and we hope God shows up, but we don't always expect, do we? Sometimes we think, you know, we're really not that important, and God is bigger, and he's got more important people, more important things to worry about, and who am I? I see that a lot, where people think, I'm not good enough, I didn't do the right things, and who am I? I'm not worthy of all this. No, no, no. You got to expect God to show up. When you look at Matthew, Jesus says, ask and seek and knock, you know? Those are three different degrees of persistence, aren't they? It's one thing to go and ask. It's another thing to seek and look for it. It's another thing to bang on the door. See, banging on the door, knocking on the door is expecting God to show up. Abraham expected God to show up, and not just show up, but provide. The third thing is that worship requires surrender. Worship requires surrender. For Abraham, before God provided the ram, God instructed Abraham to sacrifice his son. That's surrender, isn't it? I don't know about you, and I don't know if I could do it today if I heard from God. If God said, Randy, take your son and take him to the mountain. Those of you who know my son would be, yeah, let's go. Let's take the motorbikes and go and sacrifice him. How does one do that? That's incredible faith, isn't it? Incredible faith. For Abraham, that required surrender. It required huge surrender. Abraham and Sarah had waited all their life for this son. Now to take him and sacrifice him? Not my will be done, but thy will be done, right? When I look at the cross and you look at Easter, didn't Jesus even say at the end of his life, he said, Lord, can you, take this cup from me, right? Jesus said, do I have to really go through this? Can you take this cup from me? Is there another way? But take this cup. But then Jesus said, but not my will be done, but thy will be done. That's surrender, isn't it? That's huge surrender. And I think sometimes to hear God and to really worship God, we've got to surrender. You know, I'm guilty of living a North American society, a North American lifestyle. I like to make things happen. I did in business, and I like that in church. I like to keep things moving. And if I'm really honest, I like things to be somewhat black and white, although I know that planting churches requires a huge amount of faith. But there's still a part of us, every one of us, that likes some control, isn't there? And sometimes I think God just calls us totally out of our comfort zone, totally out of our control. And see, I think it wasn't so much that God wanted to, it wasn't so much that God wanted Isaac sacrificed. If you look at the first part of that text, it says, God tested Abraham. The sacrifice of Isaac was much more than just that. I think God was testing Abraham's faith to see where Abraham's relationship really was. How serious are you really about me, Abraham? That's what God was seeking. He wasn't so interested in the sacrifice. He wanted to know where Abraham's heart was. See, worship is all about the heart, isn't it? I'm coming back to the, do you know that song? Heart of Worship. Yeah, because it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. And I think for us, it's easy, at least for me, it's easy to say, Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to surrender this. And if I can be really transparent, that happened to me about a month ago. Your council knows I wasn't feeling real well. I had a really difficult time talking the last time I was here. Maybe that was a good thing for them because I had fewer words to say. I'll make up for that tonight. No, not really. But I told them in a couple of weeks I'm leaving for Honduras, which was 3 weeks ago when I left, and I wasn't feeling good the night before we went to Honduras. I had three people from our church sit me down the day before we left for Honduras, and they said, Randy, we don't think you should go. This is just not a good idea for you to go. My doctor told me it's probably not a good idea for you to go. I don't listen real well. My wife said, if God wants you there, he's going to provide. And I thought, yeah, but I might die there. I might die in Honduras. I wasn't feeling well. Well, 3 days into that trip, I still wasn't feeling real well, and I had to meet with the pastors, three different pastors. And this is southern Honduras, very, very third world country, okay? And I wasn't feeling good that afternoon. And I looked at one of the pastors, and I said, so what do you do with your dead? And he's kind of looked at me, and I'm thinking, I'm going to die here. You know, do you have cemeteries or what? Well, anyway, God was good. It was an amazing week. But the community that we were in took me totally out of my comfort zone. It took 5.5 hours to go 90 miles south of the airport where this town was. It's one of the most remote villages you're ever going to find in Honduras. We're working with World Renew, and in spirit asked World Renew if there was a community we could go to where there's never been a missionary, never been a church, or nobody's been to. We want to go into that community and learn from them. We don't want to go and change them. We want to love them. Come alongside of them, but we want to learn from them. Well, they gave us the town of Corinto, way south where the three countries meet, southern border, in the middle of nowhere. Very dangerous area in getting there. I could talk about this all night long. I won't, I promise. But that week was an amazing week. There was no running water. There were no flushing toilets. There were no showers. But a 55-gallon drum and a little hand bowl that you could dip over yourselves. The temperatures were 95 to 100 degrees and extreme humidity every single day. And this is the cool season. That's why we went in February instead of July like we did a couple years ago. Now, I'd not been there before, but this is my wife's third trip in this partnership. And she just kept saying, Randy, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. It's going to be an amazing trip. Well, I learned somewhat of what it was to worship because they got together every single night for worship for 2 hours except for Monday night. And 2 hours was probably the shortest. Sometimes we go 2.5 hours. But nothing else mattered to these people but worship. There's 100 homes in the community. Many of them are just tarp homes with poles and a tin roof. But the kids are what captured my heart. The kids of Honduras, so precious and so limited as to where they're going to go in the future. We finished their school and we donated the funds so they could finish that school and have two more classrooms. I didn't want to go on this trip, okay? I heard God saying go. I heard my wife saying trust God. I didn't want to go on the trip. Other people said don't go on the trip. Now, I'm not saying this so that you disagree with everything everybody else is telling you. We got to use our heads too. But something happened during the course of that week. There was a little girl, maybe 8 years old. Her name was Cindy. I got to just love this little girl. I didn't understand her language. She didn't understand mine. Maybe she thought, who's this white, goofy, bald guy that keeps showing up? But we had lots of great community time together. Well, on the last night we were there, she came up and just hugged me and just held on to me. And she started weeping and just crying and finally, I just picked her up, and I put her on my shoulder, and she's got her head tight against my face, and she's just grabbing onto me for all she's worth, and she kept repeating this phrase. I didn't know what the phrase meant, but she said it over and over and over again. So I called the translator, and I said, can you tell me what Cindy is saying? And this translator came over and listened and looked at me, and she said this. She's telling you, please don't leave me. What if I went to surrender? Huh? I didn't want to go. Worship requires surrender. It requires us to get out of our comfort zone. and do things that maybe don't make sense. And again, please don't misinterpret me. If you're sick and your doctor tells you to go, you probably shouldn't go. Don't take my advice on that. I'm using this to prove a point that sometimes what doesn't make sense, God's got plans. And on the last day, the people there, there's 100 homes in the community, some of them said, are you coming back? And my answer was absolutely. Lord willing, I'm coming back because I got a family there. Brothers and sisters in Christ. But what if I wouldn't surrender? Worship requires surrender. Huh? Number four is this, worship requires preparation. Before Abraham went to worship, he chopped the wood. He saddled a donkey. He prepared. He prepared mentally. Can you picture the father and their son walking that journey for 3 days, knowing you're going to sacrifice your son? You know, I guess when I look at that, aside from our Sunday worship, I say, how do we start our day each day? Are we walking with God? Are we walking with God each and every day? You know, when I look at that story, I don't know if any of your pastors have ever pointed this out to you, but that story in Genesis with Abraham and Isaac, the 3 days, the wood, the donkey, the sacrifice, the one and only son, is a picture of God the Father and Jesus Christ, isn't it, in the New Testament? I love how Scripture comes together when you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you see the pictures and you see the promises, and then you see the fulfillment. Preparation. Are you spending your time preparing, worshiping God each day? See, worship, sometimes I think we just, and again, I got to be careful with this because most of you grew up in the church and grew up in Christian homes and Christian schools, but are we spending that personal time each day with God? Listening to him in the morning or listening to him before we go to bed and saying, God, what do you want from me today? Because I think when we're open to hearing God, when we put ourselves in a position where we can push the pause button and put life on hold, I think God speaks to us more than we know sometimes. Because we're so busy, we don't always listen. And how do we start each day? Abraham and Isaac were walking together. They were walking and talking with God, listening. And then, as I said, number five is worship requires commitment and sacrifice. When I think of that commitment, it's one of the things, if I can just sort of put on my whole missions hat and pastor hat for a minute, it's one of the things that greatly concerns me in North America. In churches today is the commitment. It really is. People often say to me, what are Sunday mornings like? And for me, in our demographic, my biggest competitors on Sunday morning are sleep and sports. Sleep and sports. Maybe sickness this winter. And I often think, what happened to commitment? And there's all the statistics. When you look at our churches, why are we closing more churches than opening churches? Why are our churches decreasing in terms of their, not their seating capacity, but in terms of their pews being filled at each service? I often look at that and say, what's happening in our own denomination statistically? What's happening to that commitment? Worship requires commitment. Big commitment. I got to keep moving here. Number six is this. The last one is this. Worship requires a response. After his encounter with God, Abraham saw how God provided, and Abraham named the place, didn't he? He renamed the place. He called it Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. I guess one of the questions or maybe challenges for you to look at when you leave here tonight is say, how have you heard God? How has God called you, or what have you asked for in seeking him? And then how has he responded? How has he answered? And then have you acknowledged him for answering? Have you set up a memorial? Have you celebrated how God has answered? You know, about 4 weeks ago, we took our ministry team, our leadership team, and our staff on retreat. And we said, okay, we've been here for 7 years as a church. On Friday night, we're going to celebrate. We're going to look and just list what has God done in the past 7 years. What have we asked for in the last 7 years? You know, I want you to think big tonight. Your church is vacant, isn't it? You're going to be looking for a new pastor. And I look at that and I say, what do you want God to do in this church? What is God going to do through a new pastor here? Do you ever think about that? What are you really praying for? Are you praying for that 50% of the community that's not in church on Sunday morning? What if we just got 5% of those people? This place would be full. Maybe you'd be building a balcony. That's part of worship. What are we asking for? How do we want God to answer? And I'm not being accusatory, but let's be honest. We can become very complacent and comfortable, can't we? And I would think God never calls us to be complacent or comfortable. He certainly didn't call Abraham to be complacent or comfortable. God called him to be holy. Huh? So I look at that and say, what's the next chapter for Heritage? What's God nudging you and telling you as a church family? How is God speaking to you and saying, slow down and listen to me? There's a new chapter for Heritage that hasn't been written yet. The book's been started, but there's a lot more chapters to write. See, to me, that's exciting. That's celebrative. We're closing down a church in our classes in a few weeks. Yeah, they're going to celebrate a funeral of a church. And I think, what does God want? What does God want? Yeah, there's life cycles. But you know what? It's in a community that's changing rapidly. And when I look at that particular church, it hasn't really changed with that community. And all of a sudden it finds itself obsolete. What is God telling us as a church? What's God telling us as a denomination? You know, we're merging world missions and home missions. There's more missionaries being sent to the United States today than we are sending missionaries to other places. I hope that's not news to you. You see, one of the things I look at this test, and it says in the very beginning of that text in chapter 2, it said at some time God tested Abraham's faith. And I often look at that and I'm saying, is God testing the faith of the church? Is God testing your faith? See, if there are no tests, if there are no struggles, if there are no obstacles, how are you ever going to grow in your faith? Isn't it the fire that refines us and makes us stronger? Isn't that what Peter says? When God allows us to go through something, he's going to do something with it. Now, I don't always like God's test, especially as a pastor, and Pastor Jim and Pastor Bob can tell you that wherever we take a step, the enemy's right behind us. He's always going to throw some darts at us to stop us, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to give yourself a pat on the back and say, you know what, must be doing something right if he's against us. But the question is, when God tests your faith, when God calls you to do something, you see, you're either obedient or disobedient. There's nothing in between, is there? I know it was kind of interesting before the service. Somebody said, how should we introduce you? And I said, you can introduce me as an elf. And she looked. Now, one of your members here, Vic Scott, knew exactly what I was talking about because Vic and I both work for the Keebler Company. I went kicking and screaming into seminary. And kicked and screamed through most of seminary. And maybe even did some kicking and screaming when I got to seminary. But I knew that for me, the wrestle for those years, the wrestle that just became more and more and more intense, and finally a surrender in a hotel room on a business trip, was either obedience or disobedient. I'm grateful that I was obedient. Because I've seen God show up more in the last 7 years than I probably ever did in all my years before that. And I'm thinking, God, why are you using me? I'm just an old salesman. I can't preach. I'm not a scholar. I'm not what I would consider the typical ordained pastor in the Christian Reformed Church. And how many times have I said, God, you got to choose somebody else because it's not me. But I've learned to surrender and take leaps of faith. And I guess that's what I'm challenging you to do tonight too, personally and as a church. I don't know what your next chapter is, personally. And I don't know what the next chapter for Heritage is. But if I can just say this, trust God. Just step out in faith and trust God. And when you don't have the answers, ask, seek, and knock. Seek Him with expectancy. Seek Him with urgency. But then have the grace and patience to be still and wait and stay in step with Him, huh? Just stay in step with Him. And realize that how we handle every situation that comes to us is an act of worship. Everything we do is an act of worship. Why worship? Because it's why God created us, to worship Him. How worship? 24/7. Listen, expect, surrender, sacrifice, and celebrate when God comes through. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we want to give you thanks for this reminder tonight. We are your people, just as Abraham, Sarah were your people. And Lord, you test us. You test to see where we're at. You test our faith. Lord, it's not the sacrifices you're interested in, but our hearts. I pray that each of us would have hearts of worship, that 24/7 worship where we put ourselves in a position to hear from you. And then when we hear from you, not just to listen, but to be obedient, even when it calls us out of our comfort zone, Lord, and just to trust that you are going to show up, that you are going to provide, just like you did for Abraham, that ram in the thicket. And Lord, when we see you come through, may you bless us. Lord, my prayer tonight for this church, for each person, is that you will just lead them in the next chapters, that you will continue to be present with them, that you will make your face shine upon them, even in the challenges and the struggles and the obstacles. Be gracious to them and give them your love. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.